got passion for my plans and I ain't afraid to show it, show it, show it, show it.
I'm farming and I grow it. I'm farming and I grow it.
Obviously, water's a big topic of farming, and water's been a pretty hot issue, and the Tier 1 shortage is coming for the CAP Canal and the Colorado River system and what that will do to the Arizona farmers. And, you know, it's not good. I'm not happy that we're going into Tier 1 shortage, but it's nothing new to the world. New research out of that was published by the Smithsonian talks about a archaeological site they found in what is now North Chile, in one of the driest deserts between the Andes Mountains and the Pacific Ocean. The sandy, salty desert staved off decomposition and baked the corpses into natural mummies. And the research they've done for this, drilling through bones and the teeth, looking for isotope ratios, leads them to believe that during a cycle and the El Nino that disrupted the fishermen, they came inland and fought the farmers for their food and water resources.
And they probably knew that quote too. Whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting.
But the great news about it, you know, so the fighting for water and resources is nothing new, but today we've got technologies and innovation. Yep. And this BK Farms out of Moran is a great example, switching out to a different grain that goes back to the 1600s.
Mm-hmm. Our ancient grains growers, yep.
That uses less water than the grains they were using today. And some pretty strategic moves they've made. They're in the Pinal County, which is the hardest hit on the Tier 1 water
source.
They won't lose any water because they get it through a municipality that still has priority. So they've been pretty genius. And being a user of the CAP water system, they haven't pumped any groundwater, and the water table on their farm is up 100 feet over the last 30 years. So
yes, and Pinal County and the entire area can claim the fact that the groundwater table has come up because all of the farmers in Pinal County were using CAP water. So it's one of the reasons why
not all doom and gloom out there.
And it's the use of pumps and groundwater will not be as robust as it was in the 1980s, but there are some options. And technology is always one of the things that has saved us as we have gotten improvements based on whether that's some mechanical or information or seed technology helps us with water reduction, you know. So all sorts of important stuff.
And we've got Stephanie Smallhouse, the current president of the Arizona Farm Bureau, joining us on the line to talk about what this great monsoon season, second wettest on record as of date, since we've been keeping record. I'm sure it's not overall the history of time, but you know, since we've been keeping track and what that's done for not only the farming but the ranching community and our desert. Steph, good morning, and thanks for taking a few minutes off the farm to join us on the line.
Good morning. I'm glad to be with you this morning. I do want to talk about the monsoon because we've had a great one, and it's always nice to talk about something positive in agriculture and things that are going well. But I wanted to comment on your CSA conversation earlier. One of the things that I think is really great about those CSAs is that we used to have one. I live near San Manuel, Arizona, and we used to have one that would came out here, and I'm not sure what happened, but you know, they can be really cool for food deserts, for like rural communities.
Yes.
That don't have, you know, a lot of our small towns in Arizona now don't have grocery stores. And so a lot of times those CSAs, if they deliver once a week or whatever out to these small towns, people can get, you know, like Julie was saying, it's like a basket of food presents, of fresh food. So just wanted to throw that in there as something that I think can be really cool about those in our small towns. But anyway, so yeah, we just wrapped up the last official month of the monsoon, which is September, and it ended with a bang the same way it came in. So we're happy about that. I think we got nearly an inch just the other day. So, and it's been a record breaking monsoon. Most of at least southern Arizona has had its wettest year since 64, if not even wetter. So pretty exciting.
And what's the, you know, we're excited because we had a record, recent record monsoon season. but what's the contrast and who does it benefit more? And talk about the grasses and the rangelands, all that fun stuff.
Well, and, you know, and just for like sort of the contrast so people can sort of understand, because I, you know, it's really easy to separate yourself from what's going on with the weather and the climate if you're in town and you have really predictable resources. Yeah. But those of us that live out in the hinterlands that depend on the rain and the snow and things really notice. So in January of this year, over 70% of the state was in exceptional drought. So that's like a D4. That's like the darkest red, worst color that you can see on the map. So that's pretty striking because I don't remember a time when it was that bad over the whole state. So right now, only about 13% of the state, which is the very northeastern part and the very northwestern part, are still in a D3, which is a little better than a D4. So it's a little better condition, but that's a big difference from 13% to now 70%. So most of the state is abnormally dry or moderately dry. And so what that means for ranchers, so like for us down here on the San Pedro, you're talking about mummified artifacts. That's what we started to feel like a little bit in June. We really had no substantial rain in 2020 and none in the winter and the fall of 2019. And so it was really getting pretty depressing out here, and ranchers were really feeling the pain. But we're seeing knee-high grass out on our rangelands now. And I got to tell you, you know, people wonder why in the world would you ever ranch and raise cattle out here in the desert? If they could get out, if these people from the Midwest and other places could get out on the desert rangelands right now, they would know exactly why we raise cattle out here. We've got, you know, just tons of different types of grasses. It's knee high. And the thing is a lot of these other areas, they have monocultures, right? They have all just one kind of grass. But in the desert, what you'll see is you'll see multiple different kinds of annuals and perennials, and they are really high in nutrition content. And so when you get rain, it's exceptional feed for grazing. And so you go out on our rangeland now, and it's just night and day compared to June. So that's pretty exciting. We have a lot of ranchers that were hauling water. They've been hauling water in tanks from January to their cattle up in northern Arizona. So a lot of those ranchers, they don't have wells to pump water for their livestock. They totally depend on runoff to fill what we call dirt tanks, which is basically like a pond. And they were all dry. And so now all of those dirt tanks are full. And so that's real positive for them. And just the overall cattle herd, the health is better. You know, rain is just amazing. It does amazing things, the nitrogen in the air for feed, but it also just perks up the cattle and their health. So that's really great. But there's a big difference between what happens in the summer with the monsoons and what happens in the winter with the snow. So ranchers are really benefiting from the summer monsoon. But like you were talking about the shortage on the Colorado River, that is dependent on snowpack. What we're really now looking forward to is the winter and what kind of snowpack we have, because that's what's really going to refill our rivers and streams, is that snowpack. Now, the monsoon rain is still a positive for that, because what happens is when you go so long without summer moisture is that your soils get so dry. It's like picture just a super dry hard rock sponge. And so when we do get moisture, the ground just sucks it up. So if it were to snow, if we hadn't gotten that moisture this summer, and then if we were to get some snow this winter, a lot of the soil would have just absorbed all of that moisture and we would have very little runoff. And so now what we're going to see is we're going to see that we have a lot of soil moisture, even in the upper mountainous areas, so that when we do get snow, a lot more of it will run off. And so that's really good for our farmers.
With all their dam systems, you know, we control the floods pretty good, and then it fills the reservoirs that we use. Yes. For municipalities. But just imagine we had more acre feet of water come down the Salt and Verde in this short period of monsoon than we did the entire runoff of snow. Imagine what that river would have looked like without those dams on it.
Right.
I mean, you would have seen Tempe flooded.
Exactly. And that's sometimes when Arizona was still a territory and farmers were coming out here, that was the ebbs and flows, literally, of farming. They would get flooded out and lose an entire crop. So this whole infrastructure, and there's some improvements that need to be made for the future, but the infrastructure system that manages the flow of our water has been incredible. And even though we live in a desert state, when you compare to some of the conditions from other states that aren't desert states, we actually have a good storage of water underground. Some areas of Arizona obviously are better than others. But, you know, going back to Stephanie's point, that was, it's really good right now for our ranching community because of all the grasses due to all the summer rains. My dad likes to call them summer rains instead of monsoons. But for the Pinal County farmer, he's waiting for that snowpack in the Colorado Rockies. Correct, Steph? I want to make sure I have that right.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. And it's going to take several years to get us, you know, it took us several years to get to the point we are now. A lot of the West is in a drought right now. Oregon is really suffering. They really didn't see much moisture. But so a lot of the West is in the drought. But Arizona has been, we've kind of been down this downhill slide for about 20 years. That's why they're calling it a mega drought. But so it's going to take several years to pull out of it. But I'm confident that we will. And, you know, Julie's talking about, and Romy, you're talking about infrastructure. That's what makes our agriculture here so important, is because we can control, right? We can control a lot of things. We can't control when it rains, but if we have infrastructure in place, we can control how we save it and store it and move it around. And so those farmers originally in the valley, way back when, that made the investment in the Salt River Project, they leveraged their farms, basically, to bring all of that infrastructure and the dam and the canal system and everything to the state of Arizona. That was a lot. That's what it was about. It was like, well, this is great. We're getting this moisture, but we can't control it. And it's feast or famine, right? And so that was a big part of that infrastructure. So,
and sometimes we don't recognize but some of the statistics on Pinal County with their water cuts, that's a loss of 300,000 acre feet of surface water. One of my farmers converted that into gallons, and I can't recall what the number is. But if we did the conversion, we'd understand a little. Maybe, Romy, that's one of those.
How many acre feet?
300,000 acre feet of surface water will be cut. And then the loss of anywhere from $63 to $66 million in gross farm sales, because it's not like the farms will go out of business overnight, but fallowing their fields so that they're only operating on 50%, maybe 60% of what they previously operated, that's like asking a business down the street to cut back on 40 to 50% of your resources. So there's can be a significant loss there. And then there is the potential loss of 270 to 480 jobs in the Pinal County area alone because of this Tier 1 declaration. So there's definite economic impacts if we don't get ourselves out of this mega drought. And Stephanie, as you said, it'll take us a couple of years of healthy snowpack in the Colorado Rockies. Has anybody ever done an estimate on what, when they say years, would that be 3 or 4? Would that be 5 or 6? We need to be doing a rain dance or saying our prayers to get something to happen, right? So we can say we're out of the mega drought. Have they ever guesstimated that one?
No, I don't think anybody's brave enough to put a number on that.
There you go.
At least nothing I've seen in terms of predictions. But it's going to take a significant amount of time. And you know, and the thing is that you know, there's plenty of water. There's plenty of water in storage. Arizona's been storing water for a long time. The cities and different entities that have rights to the Colorado River, they store it different ways. And so there's a lot of water, but the question is, how are we moving it around? How are we apportioning it, right? That's governed by very old rules, which are too boring and complex to get into on your radio show, Romy.
But I will say
that there's room to move.
And we're going to take a quick break and come back with our final segment. We've got Julie Murphy, spokeswoman for the Arizona Farm Bureau, in studio and on phone, the current president, Stephanie Smallhouse. And to answer your question, 300,000 acre-feet of water multiplied by 325,851 gallons per acre foot is 97.755 billion gallons of water.
There you go.